is? Have you ever thought about being a servant? So, in my recollection, my feeble mind, the first time I recall would have been whenever I was a youth up in Plainview at Garland Street Church of Christ, and we had a men's youth class, young man's class, and we were taught how to do prayers and lead singing and to give short talks. So I was usually the one that did the talk or led singing, and the others did prayers. But I don't think I was a servant at that time. I was learning to be a servant. So the first time I recall being a servant, I was 18. I had just had some trouble at the job I had, and I quit that job, and I decided, well, my parents are on vacation in Creed, Colorado. I'll go up there with them and do something in Colorado for the summer. Well, it just happened that a friend of ours, Frank Welcher, was building a new church building in Creed. So Frank was a unique individual. His wife had some medical issues, and he made a bargain with God. If you'll save her life, I will become a full-time preacher, and I will expand your word throughout southern Colorado. His wife lived. She was bedridden from then on because of the illness. But he started churches that I know of was in Del Norte and Creed, Colorado. He started more than that, but those are the two that I was with him at in my lifetime. So it wasn't uncommon for my family to go up, and we'd pound a few nails into the new church buildings. And for our 2 weeks, you can't do a whole lot more. But I went up there to do that and unstress. And we were there by... As I was leaving town, of course, this was before cell phones, so I got a hold of my parents and told them I'm headed up there, and they said, well, we're headed to Texas. And I said, well, then I'll just stay here. And they said, no, come on up. Frank needs help with his church building. So I went on up there. I'm living in a 7x7 tent in a National Forest campground. I am a long-haired hippie kid, and that's kind of hard to remember, think of because I don't have any hair now, but I had hair down somewhere down in here, listened to rock music. So I went on up there, and 2 days into me being there, Frank comes to me and says, I have been called back to our church in Oklahoma. You're it, son. There's nobody for church. If you don't do it, we won't have church. So we met in a place that is called Blue Creek Lodge. It's still there, in a cabin, and we had the worship service there. I led the singing, I taught the lesson, and I did the communion. And they had this wooden podium up there. And about halfway through the song service, I noticed that there was this rattle. And then I realized I was shaking so bad, I was rattling that podium. So I've improved a little bit. I still shake, just not quite that bad. But that's the first time that I can really say I was a servant. Somebody asked, they had something that was a need in that congregation, and I stepped in and I took care of it. So my question to y'all, first one is, when was y'all's first one? When did y'all do something like that? When did you step out and do something to take God's word out to other people? Can you think of something? No raise of hands, okay? I won't put you on the spot that bad. So to talk about this, I want to talk about what's the difference between a slave and a servant. We are told that we are slaves to Satan. Correct? Yes? No? Come on, I hear Libby saying yes. Are we slaves to God? We're servants to God. Only one time is there a translation that says one of the apostles was a slave, and that new translation say he was a bond servant. So there's a difference between a slave, a servant, and a bond servant. So briefly, a bond servant is someone that is in debt. They have a debt that they're paying, and that's why he called himself a bond servant. He had a debt that he wanted to repay to God. Why? What did he do? He had persecuted the Jews. So he now had a debt to do it right. So he was a bondservant. He called himself a bondservant. So let's look at this. A slave. Let's talk about ownership. A slave is owned. A servant's not owned. Okay? So who owns the world? Who has slaves in the world? Satan. We are no longer under Satan's ownership. We're no longer slaves to him. Why? Jesus bought us with his blood, right? He paid it. Okay? A choice. A slave has no choice. They either obey or they're punished, and then they still get to do it. A servant doesn't have to obey. They have that choice to obey or not. Now, there are some good things in being a slave. A slave's under the daily care of an owner. Takes care of their house, takes care of their food, takes care of all their needs. But a servant doesn't have all that necessarily. He has a contract. Now, what's outlined in that contract? That contract can include place to live, food, all of the other things that a slave has. But it's a contract, not the obligation. So the servant always can step away from his contract. A slave can be bought, sold, or traded. Good thing for us, because we were bought by Jesus' blood. Got us out of slavery. He turned us into free men. He gave us choice. A servant is under a contract. That contract can have compensation. What's our compensation? Heaven. If we follow the contract, we do what we're supposed to do, we have the promise of heaven. But a contract also has set requirements. As a slave, you don't have set requirements. If the master of a slave says, I want you to dig that ditch 5 feet deep, and the slave digs it 5 feet deep, and the master says, no, I want it 4.5, go back and fill in a half a foot. He doesn't have any choice. Contract says it's going to be 5 feet deep. And if the man says, no, I wanted it 4.5, you pull up the contract and say, no, this is the requirements. Now, we'll rewrite a contract and do it different or make an amendment to this contract. But this is the contract. So there's set requirements. The other thing about being a servant is that you can walk away at any time of your choosing and get out of your contract. Do we have examples of that ever happening in the Bible? Somebody help me on that one. Come on. We have the example of the angels sing and rejoice on the return of someone into the contract. Y'all remember that scripture? Because I didn't look that one up. I'm sorry. So, yes, you can get out of your contract, but the contract's still there. You can always come back to it. It's one of the advantages of it. So, whenever I'm talking about contract, we need to understand that I'm talking about a covenant with God. That's the words we use today, but it's still a contract. God says, I'll do this if you do that. We say, yes, God will do this because you're going to do that. That's a contract. So, it is a contract. So, this was covered last week, so maybe somebody can help me out with this. Are servants born as a servant? Jay talked about this last week. You learn to be a servant, but you're not born as a servant. You're born as a slave, but you are chosen, or you choose to serve. It's your free will to make that choice. A servant doesn't have that free will. So, think about it this way. Most of us have had a job in our life, and in that job, your boss says you will do this, and if you don't do this, well, there's the door, and don't let it hit you as you walk out. I don't know if any of y'all ever heard that. I heard that several times in my life. And my deal is, well, that's not what we agreed upon, so I'm walking out the door. Probably pride got in my way, but I'll learn as I get older. We know exactly what God wants, so we're going to stay there. So in my thinking about it, I thought of there are basically two kinds of servants. There's a bad servant and a good servant. So we want to make sure we're not a bad servant, so we're going to talk about it a second. When a bad servant is asked to do something, so the example, I walked in the door last Sunday night, and last Wednesday night, and they said, can you lead singing tonight? Of course I can lead singing. You may not want me to lead singing, but I can lead singing. A bad servant would go, well, what's in it for me? You know, I'll do it, but I want something in return. The other bad servant is, God, if you'll help me do this, I promise you that I'll do this. So, got a nephew. God, if you'll help me get out of this DWI, I promise I'll quit drinking. Is that a good or a bad servant? It's a bad servant, yeah. Another one is, does it for the glory? Okay? Now, I talk about, whenever I come up here, you know, I talk about that they ask me to lead singing, and I make points out of it about it's short notice sometimes. A couple of reasons for that. Number one, I believe in my heart that if I can do it, any man in here can do it. Not a one of the gentlemen cannot lead singing. Not a gentleman in here can't do a prayer, and not a gentleman in here can't get up and do a talk. Will they be good at it? Maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. They're trying to be a servant. But a bad servant says, of course, I'm the best song leader there is at that group. I'll go in there and I'll lead singing and they'll nev me up there every Sunday. I'm not talking about you, Joel, but it's okay. So, have you ever seen people like that, though? The guys that come up and they lead the prayers, and they just seem to go on, and you wonder if they're really leading a prayer, if they're wanting you to hear them. So, Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2. Be careful not to display your righteousness merely to be seen by people. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. Thus, whenever you do charitable giving, do not blow a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in synagogues and on the streets so that the people will praise them. I tell you the truth, they have their reward. Going on down to verse 5. Whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites because they love to pray while standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people can see them. Truly I say to you, they have their reward. So, when we do things, to me it's an attitude. It's about how you want to do it. Going on with a bad servant. Bad servant complains when asked to do something. I have to kind of be careful about that one because I do complain, but I'm in jest whenever I do. But some people might take that seriously, that, oh, he really doesn't like to do that. He's got a problem. It's not that. Really, it's not. But it's, to me, it is a humorous thing that they have sunk so low that they ask Emory to do a talk on Wednesday night. You know, that's my wanting to make sure that I am a humbled servant when I do it. I don't want to get that big head and say, oh, look, they got all the emery. No, that's not it. We should never be that way. Then the next one is a bad servant does barely the minimum. You ever met somebody that comes to church on Sunday morning and never comes back until the next Sunday morning? Doesn't come to any of the other, let's say there's a luncheon afterwards. They won't even go to the luncheon after the church service. They do the bare minimum, what they think is the bare minimum. They come in, sit down, get their ticket punched, and they're back out the door. That's the way we always call it. So think about it this way. Matthew 25, verse 24. It's the parable of the talents. This is talking about the man that received the one talent. Then the one who had received the one talent came and said, Sir, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. But his master answered, Evil and lazy slave. So you knew that I harvest where I did not sow and gathered where I did not scatter? And what did he do to him? Put him in prison. Y'all are a hard group. So are we minimalist? Do we just do what we have to do? I can almost answer that everybody that hears tonight is not one of those. But do we know those people? Do we have those people in this congregation? And if we do have those people in this congregation, why are we not talking to them about, I missed you? Show them some love. Okay, let's talk about a good servant. A good servant expects only what's in the contract. So what's in the contract that we have with God? Does he promise us good health? Does he promise us riches? Nice house? How about clothing? He does promise us clothing. He tells us, I clothe the birds, I take care of you better than them. May not be that fancy clothing that everybody else out there is wearing, but we're took care of. And it may be hand-me-downs from somebody else. But he promises us that. The second one is that a good servant will give the glory to God. So whenever I help people, and they tell me, thank you, you did so much, I say, I didn't do anything. Because let me tell you, y'all, I may have gone to school to learn how to speak. I may have worked with people to know how to do sheetrock work and framework and things like that. And it may be my physical labor. But who put me in those positions that I could do that? Who allowed me to do that? God did. And that's my contract with him. He gives me and I return those things back to him. A good servant wants to do more than the bare minimum. So we're going to go back to the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verse 20 this time. The one who had received the five talents came and brought five more, saying, Sir, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master answered, Well done, good and faithful slave. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So, let's get into this. What are things that we have that God has given us that we can do, that we should be doing? Man. Man, y'all are a hard group. If it wasn't for Libby over here, I'd be in trouble. Okay, so God gave us the word, right? One of our tasks is to spread the word, right? So I've asked this once before, and Libby answered this one. And this was, I don't know, many years ago. But the question was, who have you talked to about Christ this week that is not a part of the church? Anybody got a hand to raise? I'll put mine up. Anybody else? It's a hard group, I'm telling you. That's something we should always be talking to people about, is about Christ. He should be first in our lives to be a good servant. He's supposed to be there. A good servant should be happy to serve. 1 John 5 and 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments do not weigh us down. If we do what He tells us and we love Him, it's not a burden. So, as I prepared this lesson, I thought on it from Tuesday when I got the call, all the way to Thursday, but Wednesday night, they asked me to do the talk for communion. So I put this on the burner, and I worked from Thursday through Saturday on the talk for the communion. It's just the way my mind works. From Sunday afternoon until 4 o'clock this afternoon, I worked on this. It's just the way my mind works. This took all my time. I went for the communion talk. I went and dug out 5 books just to make a 5-minute talk. I'm blessed. I have a library that a lot of people would love to have. But it time and effort is what it takes to be a Christian and to be a good servant. We are told to do what? Study to make yourself, I hear it over here, come on. What is it? Approved. So if we're not studying the Word of God and helping others, are we being good servants? So, based on all of that, here's the question. What kind of servant are you? Are you a good one? Are you a bad one? So how do you serve, or how can you serve? Everyone in here. Most of this crowd is older. Some are younger. So we have a mom with her children. And how can a mom with her children serve? Teaches them the right way. We have older couples. How can they serve? They help the mom teach the right way. They find others that need help, and they help them however they can. So, how do I help people? Well, tomorrow I'm going to be climbing up on a roof underneath, the house has a metal roof, and then there's about a 6-inch drop down, and they put a porch on, and whenever it rains real hard, it runs back under, it runs down that outside wall, and then into their covered porch. So tomorrow I'm going to be up there trying to figure out where that leak is and see if I can patch it. What does that have to do with God? Come on, somebody, give me a break. We got another 25 minutes to go. Everything. I have a talent. I have a knowledge. How did I get that? God put me in a position to where I could learn those things. He blessed me with the ability to buy a ladder that will get me up on the roof. Everything. Now, I know I'm not quite as old as some of y'all, but let me tell you, I've fallen so many times that, well, I got 2 bad shoulders, I've got steel plate in my neck, and I'm going to have surgery on my back one of these days. So, God still allows me to get up and walk every day to go see what I can do to help somebody. So here's an example. You're at the grocery store and somebody cannot reach something on the bottom shelf. So I'm 6'3", and whenever I try to get something off the bottom shelf, I literally get on my knees to reach down there and pick it up because I cannot bend over quite that far. Young lady walked by the other day and said, "What do you need?" and reached down and picked it up for me. She took care of something. Same token, at 6'3", I walk by the top shelf and go, "Oh yeah, okay, here you go." It's what can we do? We have to think outside of how to be a servant to the people so that they will see that we're doing this out of love for our God and to bring them in here. That's what we're supposed to do. If somebody comes in the back door that we don't know who is, and we aren't meeting them, I guarantee you they will go somewhere else. I've seen this at other congregations. I haven't seen it here yet. I hope it never happens here. There's always somebody at the door greeting people. But it's something we can do. If you see a face that you don't know who is, I shook a hand tonight. I don't know who this man is. Don't think I've seen him until tonight. Now, I'm bad with names, so I forgot his name already, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that we're out there trying to meet the people and let them know that they're welcome. Because we'll learn who you are. Same as y'all learned who I was as I started coming. There was a new face sitting with Ron and Libby with his wife. Oh, they're just visiting from Fort Stockton. But now I'm a permanent face, I hope, or more or less permanent whenever I'm around. So whenever we serve, we have to remember several things. One of those things is we cannot get tired of serving. I have heard over and over in the churches of Christ, "I've done that," or "How is it? I've been there and done that, and I'm tired. Let somebody else do it." What would the apostles have been like if that's the way they felt? "I've taught y'all all I know. I'm not going to teach you anymore. Go out there and do your own thing." So where are we today? Can we get tired? We have to be out there and teach. Galatians 6, verse 6, or starting with verse 6. "Now the one who receives instruction in the word must share all the good things with the one who teaches it. Do not be deceived. God will not be made a fool, for a person will reap what he sows. Because the person who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So we must not grow weary in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who belong to the family of faith." We have to keep it up. Doesn't matter how old we are. There was a gentleman up in Plainview. He was in his 90s. He was very tall, and I do not remember his name, but I had to look up to him. And he walked very stiffly and straight, but he was stooping because of age. He never failed to have a good, kind word to say to the children. So an elderly person telling the kids, "It's good to see you here," just like we tell each other. You know what that means to a teenager? To hear from somebody older that it's good to see you here? It really does matter. You may not think it does, but it matters. So he was teaching. A little bit of verbal, but by his actions more. So whenever I would drive out to the prison, I'd say a prayer every day. And some days I had a 5-minute drive, depending on which prison I was working at, or a 15-minute drive. And one of the things that I always tried to put in was, well, a couple of things. Number one, keep me from the evil one, because agree or not, I believe there were some possessed people in prison. I met a few that they threw things at me and I threw scripture back at them, and within a couple of days they would no longer bother me. They would run from me. And I thank God for protecting me from them every day. But the second one is to keep me a Christian. The amount of profanity, the words used, the jokes used, just in general of how people acted. Help me set an example. So one day, I have this guy walks up to me and says, "Lieutenant, I need to talk to you." All right. First thing in my mind is, okay, what do you want? So I said, "What do you want?" "Well, I need to apologize to you." "Okay, what do you want?" "No, you don't understand. I am trying to be an Islamic student. And one of the things I have to do is if I have wronged someone, I have to go and apologize to them. And so I have wronged you, Lieutenant, and I am here to apologize to you because I did not understand you when I first came in and I thought you were a certain way, and I've learned you're not that way. And so I have to apologize to you." Could any of us do that? We make an opinion of somebody and then we change it and we go to them and say, "You know, I'm sorry. I didn't think you were a good Christian, and I made a judgment, and now I have to apologize for that because my judgment was wrong. But my actions of being a good Christian, I believe that convinced him that I wasn't the way he perceived me to be." So today, my prayer is, keep me from the evil one, Satan, and help me to set the right example every time I can. A next way to be a servant is to teach. And I said everybody in here can teach. It's easy. Get the Bible out, study it. Get up here, shake, stumble, start a song the wrong way and have to stop and start it over again. It doesn't matter. God knows our hearts. And if the people are not don't love like God does, then they need to learn the lesson. But for me, teaching makes me study. Like I say, for a five-minute talk, I went through five books just to do a five-minute talk. Oh, and I'm sorry, that doesn't include the Bible. That's just the textbooks I went into. Study leads to an understanding. So as we understand the Word, that brings us to what? To a love of God. Because we start understanding how God loved us. That understanding of the love brings us to the test that was given to Jesus. What's the greatest commandment? Say it out loud. Ron, go ahead. Say it out loud. Say it loud. Come on. What's the greatest commandment? That's the second commandment. The first commandment is, the first and greatest commandment is, love God with all your heart and soul. The second commandment is love one another. And it is equal to the first commandment. So as we learn to study and get in the Word, we learn more about how God loved us, and we learn how to love. So are we perfect? Not in any way. But guess what? Some of the greatest people weren't perfect. Moses, was he perfect? Moses was told to go talk to a rock to get water. And in his frustration, he said, "Must I strike you too?" And hit it with his staff. And that cost him what? Hey, y'all are livening up. Good. Okay. What about Jonah? Was he perfect? He got to be in somebody's gut for 3 days. The big fish. What about Ananias and Sapphira? This is an example of a bad servant. So there wasn't a problem with them selling their property and giving money to the church. What was the problem? Lied was one of them, but there was another one. They wanted to be thought of. They wanted the look at me. That was their first one. And then the lie to cover up the first one cost them dearly. What about Peter? Peter did what? Denied Christ. And yet we read his books all the time. We don't have to be a perfect servant. We just have to do our best. Look at David. So, to kind of start a conclusion on this, we are not slaves that have to blindly obey, are we? We have free will. We have free choice. Even though Jesus bought us from slavery and set us free, he set us free as free men to make a choice. And we have that choice to make. Are we willing to obey what we're supposed to do? I hear a lot of talk, not in the churches of Christ, but in some other groups, that I don't believe that scripture. I just don't think God would do that. I had one friend that said, the only part of the Bible that is true is Jesus' words. If it came from anybody else but Jesus, you don't have to live by it. Jesus didn't talk about baptism for remission of sins. The apostles talked about that. Why? Because baptism wasn't in effect until Jesus died and was raised. That part of they did have baptism before that. John the Baptist baptized. But there are things that Jesus couldn't talk about because they hadn't happened yet. Because they dealt with his life. That person didn't care. If Jesus didn't say it, if it was written by a man, that was the way she put it. If it was written by a man, I don't believe it. It was interesting working with her in a prison too, y'all. So. Another thing that we have to do is never grow tired of serving. No matter how old we are, no matter where we are. Had a friend, an elder's wife, Dorothy Hamby. We called her Dot. She had MS. She was bedridden for years. We always went to her birthday party, and she was always happy to see people. But I will tell you this, J.W. Hamby would not have continued to be the elder at the congregation and would not have continued to be a good man if his wife wasn't supporting him. And so, until she died, she supported her husband and made him what I believe is a good man. Another thing about being a good servant is we are going to mess up. We all have our sins. I have one that's terrible that I think is wonderful that they made cruise controls. Because if they didn't, I would have the car going as fast as it would go. And I'm trained for that. I've been to schools about how to learn how to drive fast. But it's not the right thing to do. And so if I don't have my head on straight and I'm not thinking about driving, my foot will be on the floorboard. So cruise control. Thank you, Lord, for a blessing. About the last thing that we have to look at is that as we serve, we will grow. The more we can serve, the more we will grow. The more that we can do for each other, the more we will grow. Not only will we grow personally, we'll grow as a congregation. And we will grow in the community. If we don't have the ability to grow spiritually, we become stagnated and the church congregation will die. And part of that is trying to make sure that people understand whenever we come to church worship service, who are we serving? God. We're not serving ourselves. We're not here to feel good. We're not here to be praised. We're not here to be lifted up. We're here to do all of that for God. And guess what? God gives that back to us. Because whenever we come and we worship and we truly honor God, I guarantee you we feel good. And we feel a closeness together. And so to serve is a great thing. Matthew 23, verse 11. The greatest among you will be your servant. Matthew 18, verse 4. Whoever then humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And of course, the start of one of my the end of one of my favorite chapters and or verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now all these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So we need to love one another. Well, the kids are coming out, so I guess it's time for us to finish. I've gotten to the end of my first set of notes, so I won't even get into the second set of notes. If y'all would, let's bow and have a prayer for dismissal. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. You have given us so many things that we can't even count. And amongst those is that you've given us your Son, who is our sacrifice, who has taken our sins away, who has bought us from the slavery of sin and given us the choice and the chance to serve you. Lord, we ask that as we go through our daily lives, that we will always put you first and serve you to the best of our abilities. Lord, I ask that this group will study and improve their knowledge. And as they do that, they will serve better. And that will help teach others how to serve. Lord, we always ask for guidance in everything we do. We ask that you look down upon those that are weak in spirit and need your help to grow in their faith. Those that have problems, that they will be willing to bring those to you and let you take them away from them. Lord, we ask that you will always guide us in the way we treat other people, and the way that we teach your word so that others will listen. Lord, these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.